People were created to be loved, and things were created to be used. The reason why the world is in chaos is because things are being loved and people are being used. So 21 years ago, at the request of the Milwaukee Police Department, two Franciscan Capuchin priests started the Ministry of Franciscan Peacemakers. Because 21 years ago, the police were understanding that arresting and incarcerating was not solving the true problem of a woman who was prostituting on the streets. 21 years ago, these two Capuchin priests were asked to create a pathway that the woman could leave the streets and start life over again. So that was back in 1995 in July, and a few months after that, my wife Debbie and I, while we were here at Cabrini at the time, volunteered with them and joined in their efforts. And over these 21 years, one of the priests is now the provincial for the Capuchins, and the other is retired, and now I'm the director. And doing this work was not what I planned for my life. But as we went about not really understanding what we were doing, not understanding the stories behind what led these women to the streets in the first place, we began ministering to the immediate needs, providing food and drink, patching up small wounds, and listening to their stories. We had to establish a presence and, above all, our credibility, that we weren't some fly-by-night place. And so 21 years ago, as that foundation was beginning, a lot of students that I had in religious education here when I was teaching would go down to Milwaukee with my wife and I, and soon some of their parents came, and they would spend their Saturday nights on the corner of 16th and North handing out lunches to people in need, because at that time that was one of the most popular areas for prostitution to occur. And getting to know these women's stories, irregardless if they came from poverty, middle class, or wealth, whether they were people of color or Caucasian, there was a common thread in what took these women to the streets. And the women, even at the time of telling their stories, weren't even realizing it themselves. And that common thread was being sexually abused as a very young child by those entrusted with their care. Not by strangers, by family members, very close friends of the family. And over time, we began to understand the role that trauma plays in any individual who's been abused and leading to a life of addiction. But in this particular case, our focus was on these women. And so we work within the system that still is in place. We would take the women off the streets and get them into a recovery program where they could stay for maybe 90 days. And in that 90 days, they were to work on recovery. But there was an expectation that they should get a job, minding that most of them had no real work experience. That they should, in that 90 days, complete their education, reunify with their families. And after 90 days, it was see you and good luck. And you can guess what happens. And 90% of the time, they go back to doing what they're doing. There's one individual that we met on the streets like 12 years ago now. And we would see Michelle a lot in the same area around 16th and North. And we would get to know Michelle and give her food and talk with her and actually had this kind of in-depth relationship with her. And over a span, I can't remember exactly how many years, Michelle would come off the streets, run back to the streets, come off the streets, run back to the streets. In my head, I want to say that happened 9 times. And it was one night that Michelle called and said she was ready yet again to leave the streets. And it just happened to be a night that my wife and I, we were supposed to go to Summerfest and go to a concert to see who I don't remember. And I picked Michelle up. And I'm talking to Debbie on the phone and saying that she wants to come in and I got to take her to mental health, I believe, is where I was taking her. And Michelle will tell you if you ask her. Because she could hear my voice, my wife's voice coming through the cell phone. That was the first time she experienced love in her life. That somebody said she was more important than going to a concert. And it became the moment that she became clean. Now, Michelle and I, while she was out on the streets, and even after she was clean in the first year, we kind of had this kind of love and hate relationship. I loved her and she hated me. Could have been the other way around, too. But if somebody would have told me that one day Michelle would have been working with me, I would have asked you what drug you were using. Michelle's here this morning. You can stand up. This is a courageous individual. This is really a courageous individual to allow me to share her story. And at times when her and I, we go speak together, and she will talk her story for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and people listen, nobody falls asleep. But the fact that Michelle ministers with me in providing care for the women that we were invited to 21 years ago to help leave the streets has been a blessing. And I should point out that 2 years ago, of all the women that we've ever worked with, Michelle is the only one who's come into the Catholic Church. And you can see by where she's sitting, she's a good Catholic. I'm not so sure about the ones up front. But But we worked with her in the existing system, where she went in and out and in and out. And Peacemakers became and continues to be a major support system of love in her life. And she is taking what she's receiving and giving that love out in return. So much so, she's at Mount Mary College studying to be a social worker because she wants to do even more. She's equipping herself for what the future will hold and the people she will encounter. But I came to realize several years ago that system, why it works for some people, doesn't work well. And after studying a model in Nashville, Tennessee, we were able to open a home 4 years ago at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church, which some of you might remember as being St. Elizabeth's years ago. In this home, which we call Clare Community, named in honor of St. Clare of Assisi, happens to be in a building that guys who were studying to be Capuchins lived. And so we just keep that Franciscan spirit alive. And the women who enter Clare Community have the opportunity to live there for 2 years. While they're working on recovery efforts, while they are getting care for the trauma that they endured in their lives. And studies show that if an individual with the type of trauma these women have, with a lot of work on the women's part, if they can achieve at least 2 years of ongoing trauma care, the likelihood of them relapsing goes way down. Because when we meet these women on the streets, and I have to tell you that most of these women have a deep faith. They will tell me at times when I'm wondering where God is in this mess, when I'm willing to give up, that a woman will come running from a back alley or out of a garage or an abandoned house and saying, "Thank God you are here. I've been praying that you come. This happened to me last night. Or I'm really hungry. Or I think I want to come in." And the faith that they have transfers to me. But I always try to transfer hope back. Because the other thing they have in common, that even though they have this deep sense of God, they have no hope. Because years later, they are believing that somehow God is punishing them, that they are somehow responsible for what happened to them as a child. And this is God's punishment. And the reality, which after all these years continues to be very hard to accept, that most of these women will die on the streets. They will become victims of homicide, of suicide, of a drug overdose, or something related to the streets. So that's part of what we do. with Claire community as women come in and they participate actively in their recovery. Slowly over time, they begin to feel that hope. Slowly over time, they begin to understand they're entitled to be loved. And another part of what we do as this healing is going on is we employ them. We created a social enterprise 4 years ago to go along with the housing program where the women worked to learn how to make soaps and lotions and candles. And I was telling Father Nate earlier that we've begun the process of teaching them how to make rosaries. Because one of the keys of healing is the spiritual part. And whether you pray the rosary or not, you know what it is, and you know the power prayer can have. And I want to introduce to you Mary Anita, who had no idea I was going to introduce her, who just recently joined us. And she's a teacher, she's a math teacher. And she's a jewelry maker who's taken on this role of teaching them how to make these rosaries. Because if we are going to be ready for that unexpected encounter with Jesus, we have to have it in our hearts. We have to be prepared not to put our head in the sand, but to say yes. Now, 21 years ago, when we're doing this work in Milwaukee, I would have never imagined that my work would now take me back into Washington County. Because of the growing problem of human trafficking. In the state of Wisconsin, has the third largest problem with sex trafficking. And so now I'd not only spend time on the streets in the city of Milwaukee, but I spend time driving in Washington County in areas where prostitution happens, where a lot of trafficking happens. And one of the favorite places of human traffickers are truck stops. And you have to understand, these victims of trafficking didn't make a decision to say one day, hey, I want to go do that, that looks like fun. The victims of human trafficking are targeted. These predators are very smart. They recognize vulnerability in young girls and boys. But in the girls' cases, a lot of times when they target somebody and then a young man enters their life wanting to be their boyfriend. And the awful process of grooming begins. And the grooming process includes getting to know her parents and her extended family. You know, to the point where a lot of times these family members, they really like this guy. But all along he's planning. And one day, he puts her into a position, guilts her into it, tries to at first. But then violence becomes involved and the threat of coercion to her family. And typically, regardless of their age, they are introduced into a sex worker's life in a strip club. And the average age a young girl is introduced into a life of prostitution by a trafficker is 13. And they don't just come from the central city of Milwaukee. It is a problem in all 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin. And a lot of times, these young kids, they come from families who go to church every Sunday. Mom and dad are there doing the best they can. But they get taken. And so one of our tasks with peacemakers is awareness and education. It is not to scare parents into locking their children up and never letting them go anywhere. That's not the real world. But the more as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles can arm themselves with information and understand what is happening, people who get educated on the subject have intervened and interrupted the grooming process. And one of the things that I shared with Father Nate in an email that I would have never believed in a million years, that being able to come into a parish and preach about what we do would save a life. And over the last 14 months in Washington County, in Waukesha County, in Milwaukee County, a young girl happened to be in church with her family, listening, and she was recognizing what was happening to her. And she went to her parents, and the process was rightfully interrupted. And people ask, well, you know, why is this growing? What's driving it? And it's demand. It is men who crave this. And it's not just men who don't go to church on the weekends. Because in a lot of studies, a lot of men who worship every week, whether it's in being a Christian, being a Jew, being a Muslim. Conservative estimates put 50% of the men worshiping in any given week are viewing pornography. And of that, there is a smaller percentage who begin thinking about going and finding a woman who's prostituting. And of that, there's about 3% of men every week who act on that, who are coming to church. And so I say this not as to put men in this bad light, but to challenge Cabrini in every place I go, how do you find a way to deal with that? How do you find a way to help these men and some who I work with in their own brokenness stop this? There was a man after the 8 o'clock mass came to me. He said, I'm one of those guys. Can you really help me? Hopefully he's going to follow up. But that's here in your home. And I know from my own personal experience the power of this community. Because way back when my wife Debbie and I moved to West Bend, a year after we were married, and we joined, this is where we were going to church. Or I should say, this is where my newly converted Catholic wife was going to church. Why her homegrown Catholic education all my life, it's like, yeah, church. What do they do there? All the priest does is ask for money. That was an excuse. And my wife, in her gentle persistence, after our first child was born, and she joined a Renew group, and she started telling me about these people that she was with and how wonderful they were. And I'm like, oh, those do-gooders. Maybe I'll start going to church, but I'm not doing that. But my wife loved me, and I loved her. And out of respect for her, I began to go to church again. I began to do Renew. And I found these very wonderful people who helped form me. So how many of you were here like 30 years ago? Yeah, you're partly responsible for this. You know, it's a journey. And every one of us here are on a journey. Including that man who came to me after 8 o'clock Mass. He's on a journey. But so too are the women on the streets and the women who are being trafficked. They're also on a journey. And I have to tell you that Franciscan peacemakers exist in part today because of the commitment this parish made 21 years ago and continue to make over a span of 6, 7, 8 years, in both in terms of dollars and volunteers. There were 4 parishes like that in the diocese. And we're here today because of them and because of you. And you've had the opportunity to see the fruits in meeting Michelle. And I want you to know how grateful that I am. So I just want to close the very simple blessing from St. Francis of Assisi. And I wish all of you peace in your life and all good. And I thank you.